Take one. Today we're going to talk about seeing the shining path, about the secret of renewed strength. Okay, we're going to talk about how. This is a very, very simple lesson from Isaiah 40:31. We have sang it just now. And let's stand, alright, as we read the Bible from Isaiah 40, verse 27 to 31. Okay, for tonight, just a short devotion before we just break into groups to pray later on as well. Okay, Isaiah chapter 40, verse 27 to 31. I'll read verse 27, you read verse 28 until we finish at verse number 31. Isaiah 40, 27. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God? Verse 28. Verse 29, he giveth power to the faint, to them that have no strength or no might, those who are weak. He increases strength. Verse 30. Verse 31, let's read together. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Let's have a word of prayer. Let's pray. Father, we know almighty strength lieth with you. We know, Father, strength and power and might is in your right hand. Lord, even as we come before your holy presence tonight to learn how we can receive this strength in our lives, that we will have continuously renewed strength within our life, within our soul, within our spirit. Lord, we need you to teach us how we can have this strength on a daily basis. Lord, we are weak. We ask you, Lord, to fill us with your Holy Spirit tonight, especially with understanding for those who are tired in their mind and are not able to concentrate. I pray you strengthen them. I pray you help them to be able to concentrate so that, Lord, for themselves, they will receive a blessing from you. Thank you for what you're going to do. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. I'll just go through these verses a little bit, give you the context, and then go through some of the just a quick thought, okay? In verse 27, God actually asks Israel, why are you telling me that your way is hid from the Lord and that the judgment is passed over from my God? In other words, how come God has just left us? God has left us. So in verse 28, God actually, through Isaiah, says, hast thou not known, hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary, there is no searching of his understanding. And so from 28 to 31, there begins Isaiah to tell them that God has not passed over you. Alright? In Isaiah chapter 1 to 39, you don't have to turn there. Isaiah chapter 1 to chapter 39 are chapters highlighting the impending doom the nation of Israel is going to face, okay? From chapter 1, chapter 2, you've read a lot of judgments. It's going to come on Babylon and Assyria and of course, on Israel as well. Okay, Isaiah, remember, ministered to the northern kingdom. All right, and northern kingdom fell in. FBI students? Fell to Assyria in which way? 732 or 731 BC, okay? So Judah fell when? 150 years later, all right, 587 BC. I learned that in a long time ago. But, okay, so Isaiah ministered to the northern kingdom, all right? So this particular, for the first 39 chapters, the impending doom and destruction of Israel is highlighted in the surrounding nations. Brokenness, sin, and judgment is the trend of Israel's life for the first 39 chapters. But in verse 40, there seems to be a change. From 40 onwards, you see a loss of hope, loss of comfort, loss of encouragement to the nation of Israel, okay? It's kind of like our life sometimes, you know, we kind of go through a lot of things that are happening and suddenly God just pulls out a blessing. And I heard from Jeremiah that the people there have been people calling people, inviting people to the children's outing. Oh, such a blessing, okay? And they just... the exponential growth, one person bringing eight of them. Can you imagine everyone brings 8? We're in trouble. But good trouble to have. But thank God that we have that kind of blessing. It's kind of like showers of blessings. Even on Sunday, we thank God we have non-believers that come for our services. They're still coming and praying that God will save them. So God gives us comfort and strength. In the verses that we have read, God highlights the faintness, the weakness of Israel. And interestingly, how God reminds them, I'm the one that gives you strength. Okay, I'm the one who gives you strength. In these verses that we have read, God highlights this. And these verses actually touch the very core of our Christian experience, because many of us go sometimes up and down in our Christian experience. Agree? Sometimes we are on a high mountain and we thank God for the blessings, and sometimes like, Lord, why am I facing this now? Kind of like we're just living on a daily basis, and we kind of forget sometimes. Okay, there are a few types of Christians we want to quickly look at that we look across our churches and culture. Four types of Christians. One, Christians who constantly live in victory. These are the people who love the Lord, and you know many of them serve God faithfully. Some Christians who appear to live in victory but are struggling. Okay, so on the outside, everything is fine, but you know deep inside they are struggling. And these are the people who come to church on a faithful basis, but you know what? Deep down there are certain things that are happening, but only God knows. But they're willing to come and allow God to work in their hearts. Then, of course, there are Christians who just plain struggle. They have no victory and they just kind of struggle all the time. And then the last group of Christians are Christians who are constantly defeated. Constantly defeated. They're always weak and always faint. We actually had one friend last time many years ago when we... name is Buni, okay? Just call her Buni. And every time she comes for this group, it is always she has problems. Always. And she will cry in the service. She will cry for 1.5 years, okay, for service. Okay, 1.5 years for service. Remember Kayu? Oh, my friend Kayu, I shared with you, my friend Kayu actually turned aside to me and said, I think it could be an attention-seeking behavior after a while. But you know what? This particular lady had such problems all the time that she's always feeling defeated. I'm here to remind you, based on Isaiah 40:31, it's God who gives you strength in those areas. What may be the cause of our failure? Okay, so these four groups of Christians, why may be the cause of our failure? There are two primary causes. If you look at verse 28, 27-28, the first cause is the ignorance of our resources at our disposal. Ignorance. As Christians, we forget that God is our help. Look at verse 27. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord? That means God cannot see what's happening to me. Okay, Isaiah 40 verse 27, God through Isaiah is saying, look, why are you saying, O Jacob, why are you saying, Israel, that I can't see you? I don't know what you're going through. Why are you saying that? And then my judgment is passed over from my God, that whatever right things I'm supposed to give to you, you don't receive. Why are you saying that? And he goes on in verse 28, has thou not known? That's ignorance. Okay, has thou not heard that the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary, there's no searching of his understanding. You know what Isaiah is saying? Israel, why are you saying God doesn't understand you? Why are you saying that? Why are you behaving in such a way that you say, oh God, you're not there? And you know, as Christians, we won't do that. But the way we live reflect the kind of doubt sometimes. We just kind of go on in life and, I just fulfill my Christian duties and, you know, but the life is in constant defeat. So the primary cause is the ignorance of our resources at our disposal. Okay? In Hosea 4 verse 6, let me just read. My people, if you want to turn there, fine. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Many Christians don't live victorious lives simply because they don't know what the Bible says. Okay? This is in Hosea 4 verse 8. And then in Matthew 22, verse 29, I'll just read also. You can jot down if you want. Ye do err, not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God. Jesus told those people who were speaking and asking him a question, he says, you have error in your lives, you have erred from the right way simply because you do not know the Bible, nor do you know what the power of God is, what God can do. I don't know about you, but isn't it true sometimes that sometimes we look at the situation, no way out. All right, I'm just enjoying the FBI on Mondays, whereby Pastor Johnny is talking about the Red Sea, the opening of the Red Sea. And what a tremendous thing, you know. Pharaoh thinks that they're trapped, now's the time to get them. Mountains on both sides, Red Sea in front, army in front, behind. How is God going to get us out? Christians, can I say this? God always has a plan. Amen? God always has a plan. We just need to learn to trust Him, okay? So ignorance, number one, of the resources that God gives to us. And number two, another cause is a failure to tap these resources. The failure to actually appropriate what God has given to us. Isaiah 40 and verse number 29. He giveth power to the faint. And to them that have no might, He increases strength. You know what that means? When was the last time you actually received strength from God? What we oftentimes do in the testimony time, we will say, always on hindsight, after we've gone through the whole thing, then we will say, thank God for the strength for this day. Right? Question is, did we ask for it in the first place? Sometimes we don't, but God still gives to us. Amen? But you know, we need to be conscious of the fact that God gives us His strength. He will give us His strength when we ask. Okay? The second reason why many Christians fail to actually have the strength to go through difficult times simply is because they fail to ask God for it. Ye have not because ye ask not. In the book of James. Let's turn to Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 20 to 24. A few verses, I'll just read it quickly. Wisdom crieth without, she uttereth her voice in the streets. She cries in the chief places of concourse, in the opening of the gates in the city, she uttereth her words, saying, just those two verses, God is saying this, everywhere God is calling out to us. Everywhere. If we are a Christian, everywhere your Savior is beside you, He's telling you, He's speaking to you, everywhere God is calling, God is calling, God is calling. Okay, verse 22, how long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity and the scorners delight in their scorning and fools hate knowledge? These are three groups of people whom God is calling to. Firstly, we have the simple ones. What are the simple ones? What are the simple ones? Sorry? What are the simple ones? The word simple in the Hebrew means loss of room. And I learned from one American preacher says they call these people space cadet. Very blunt. Simple ones are people who do not have very strong convictions. Okay? And they follow every wind of doctrine that comes. So how long, these simple ones, we love your simplicity. How long are you still going to be without your convictions? Okay? That's one thing. And scorners delight in their scorning. Now who are these scorners? What is corners? What is corners? What is corners? You what? Misha, sorry? Okay, they disregard God. Without others, yeah, definitely they disregard God. Okay. Scorners are people, listen, who knows what is right, but actively reject that right. They know it's right. They know it's supposed to do it. But they don't want to do it. That's a scorner. Okay? God convicts them in their heart. They know it's supposed to do it, but that's a scorner. That's why, how long, you scorners, will you still delight in the scorning? I'm calling out to you. And fools hate knowledge. Who are the fools? Who are the fools? What's a fool? What's a Bible? Okay, the fool says there's no God, so how would you characterize a fool? Fool is someone who says, I don't believe in God, I don't care what God does, I just do what I want. You can say what you want. So a fool, you can preach to him, you can do everything, and the fool can do wrong and don't feel anything about it. That's a fool. Total rejection of who God is, okay? So the wisdom is calling out to those who have no convictions, calling out to those who are resisting the truth, and calling out to those who don't care about the truth. Okay, verse 23. Turn you at my reproof. Notice how God, Solomon actually uses the wisdom of God. Turn you at my reproof. Look, if you turn, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words. But because I have called and you refuse, I'll stretch out my hand. No man regardeth. So this passage, if you read all the way to the end, you realize that God says, when you get into trouble, I'm going to laugh at you too. When you get into trouble, because you don't listen, God says, I will laugh at you too. You know, I thought how long I'll hide. You know, God says, I'll laugh at you. I've told you that you shouldn't go this way, but you went, okay? So, the secondary cause, the second reason why Christians don't get their strength renewed is because since God is giving the power, but Christians just fail to tap on the resources God has given to us. Okay, so how does God give us His power? Let's look at Isaiah 40 verse 31. How do we get strength in times of weakness? How do we get the motivation to continue to serve the Lord? Motivation to continue to even live the Christian life? Some people just kind of give up the Christian life. Can I say this? Never give up on God. Never give up on Christ. Never give up on things of the Bible. Why? Because those are the things that are constant. Okay? It's based on the very foundation of who Christ is. Never give up on them. Because they have never failed you. Things may fail, situations may... Sometimes our own perception of things, okay, can affect. But you know what the devil likes to do? Just discourage you. You know, this number one weapon Satan uses, discouragement. Number one. Number one weapon Satan uses is discouragement. And he's still using it. Alright? Because, you know what's discouragement? Discouragement always has to do with the spirit. The courage to do certain things. All Satan does is give you a situation that destroys that courage. You have no spirit inside of you to do something kind of like. Have you ever seen Christians who kind of just give up? You know what you need to do in that situation is to encourage them, add the courage, okay? So, but what does God say? How do we renew our strength? Isaiah 30 and 40 and verse 31. The Bible says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. What does it mean? God says, I'm going to give you, your strength is going to be renewed on the condition that you wait on me. Okay? That's what the Bible says. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Now, how many of you, how many of us, what does waiting on God mean? Can anyone just venture, or maybe in your own experience, what does waiting on God mean? What does waiting on God mean? Anyone? What does waiting on God mean? We absolutely, as Christians, need to know this. You know why? Because if not, we are living on borrowed. Our strength will ebb away. Our strength will diminish. Our strength will limit. We need to know what it means to wait on the Lord. If we don't, we are doomed to a life of constant defeat. Constant defeat. Because God says they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. So we need to know, what does it mean to wait upon the Lord? Anyone? Or have you experienced the waiting on the Lord before? What does it mean to wait on the Lord? Anyone? What does the word wait mean? What does the word wait mean? Huichi, looking at me intelligently. What does waiting mean? What does wait on the Lord mean? When you tell Mama, ask you to come, you say, Mama, wait. So what does that mean? I don't know. Okay, now anyone else? What does wait mean? Okay. The word wait there literally in the Hebrew means be silent. To be silent doesn't mean no movement, but to be silent. It means in the midst of all the trials, in the midst of the storms, in the midst of things, in the midst, that you, wow, can't join this God here, in the midst of the storms, in the midst of difficulties. You know, when troubles come, what is the first thing we do? When the terrorists went into this canyon mall, right? What do you think all the shoppers will do? What's the first thing they do? Flee, okay? Flee and shout, okay? That is the right thing to do, okay? There's no time to be silent and wait, okay? Better run, all right? The natural response of men when they face troubles and trials and difficulties that come, first thing they do is start thinking, what should I do? What should I do? Start thinking and planning, right? Right? Okay, start thinking and start planning and start, maybe try this, maybe try this, maybe try this, maybe try this. God, please help me. Maybe try this. And you keep trying and trying and thinking through. And you know, and that helps to a certain extent, but after a while, you realize that your strength just gets sapped away because we are putting energy where it's not. We are putting energy to solve a problem which is, the way we do is often inefficient and many times not productive. But sometimes what God wants us to do really is to learn to depend on Him. Stop our thinking in terms of trying to come up with thoughts and plans to deal with something, but rather wait on the Lord. Now what does waiting on the Lord is, and this is important, okay? What does it mean to pray, to worship, attend services, read the Bible? Yes. Waiting on God it should never stop us from Christian activity, because there's a duty before God. We do our duties. So a mom or a dad may be waiting on the Lord for something, but he still has to go to work, right? He still has to cook, right? He still has to do your normal duties of life. If you are teaching, you still have to teach, but as you are waiting on the Lord, you still have to do the normal duties. Waiting doesn't cease activity. Waiting cease the heart to wait on God. Okay? Now, what does waiting mean? Waiting upon God means to be cast upon Him in utter dependence or total dependence, ready to hear His voice and do His will, having a whole expectation from Him. It implies complete confidence and trust in the Lord, and absolutely no confidence in self or in human help. Waiting on God always starts off with an attitude that says, I can't, only God can. I can't. And sometimes God puts us in those situations to slow us down so that we will realize, hey, it's not going to be by might, it's not going to be by power, but it's going to be by my Spirit, saith the Lord. Zechariah 4 verse 6. Waiting on the Lord, after we talk about practically what it means, okay? But waiting on the Lord has the first attitude of utter dependence of a Christian. And it's interesting, I want to also highlight the fact, ready to hear His voice and do His will. You know, I just want to go through a little bit of the things that we go through. When we're faced with a trial, we get kanchong, okay? We get anxious, we get, what am I going to do? And then when we learn to wait, the first thing is to tell ourselves we need to depend on God, okay? By telling ourselves we need to depend on God doesn't mean we will depend on God. We need to actually then move to the place of God, I am ready to hear what you have to say and I'm ready to do what you tell me to do, okay? Let me repeat that again. Waiting upon God means to be cast upon Him in total dependence, ready to hear His voice and to do His will. And this is an important part, having a whole expectation from Him. In other words, as we wait on God, we actually stop having what we think. And because, let's put it this way, we all have a plan. We all have a plan, many times. And many times when we wait on God, is, God, I'm just waiting on you to confirm my plan. Yes, God, I'm just waiting on you to sign on the dotted line. This is what I want to do, so I wait on you. Sign on the dotted line. This is how I think. This is what I want you to think too, son. God says, no. Wrong plan. You probably tell Johnny, you take away your paper, let's pull a fresh piece and let's discuss together. We need to cease having a whole expectation only from Him. It implies complete confidence and trust in the Lord, and then absolutely no confidence in self or in human help. And this is, you know, one of the biggest examples here is Hezekiah. Remember Hezekiah? He was actually surrounded by Rabshakeh, the general, in the book of 1 Kings, I believe. And they were going to crush Jerusalem and Judah. And one of the things that this general was saying, the nations of Egypt and all the other nations cannot stand against me. Neither can their gods stop me. Who is your God that can save Israel? What did Hezekiah do? And there was a letter sent, right? And then Hezekiah took the letter. The Bible says, Hezekiah took the letter and went into the temple of the Lord and laid before God. God, you know, we cannot do anything. We just can't. God, if you don't save us, no one else can. And you know what? Isaiah, God then sent Isaiah to tell Hezekiah, don't worry. This night, the entire army of Assyria will be wiped out. 185, right? In one night, God sent the angel. But you know, we need to, I don't know about you, when was the last time you actively waited on the Lord? When was the last time? Because God says the way you renew your strength is to wait on God. It's one of the secrets of the Christian life. Okay? And we need to understand that really. What's the result in Isaiah 40 verse 30? What's the result of waiting upon the Lord? There are four results. Number one, we will have God's strength in place of our weakness. The Bible says they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. The word renew can be translated exchange. When you wait on God, you give God your weakness, God put in His strength. Okay, it is likened to when you drive your car into the petrol station, you give your empty tank and then the attendant put the petrol in so you can start moving again. Okay, we are exchanging our emptiness for God's strength. Okay, and it's important in 2 Corinthians 12 verse 9, let's turn there, right? I think we all know that verse, but let's turn there, 2 Corinthians 12 verse 9. 2 Corinthians 12. Anyone can know offhand? We preached on it. It's a passage when Paul made a declaration. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 9. Let's read together. Ready? Maybe read from verse 8 and then verse 9. Ready? 1, 2, go. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that he might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Okay? So I go on, therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in my weaknesses, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecution, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I'm weak, then am I strong. So what Paul says is, look, I had a weakness, I ask God to take it away. God says, no, my grace. Remember what we talked about in grace on Sunday? God, every provision is sufficient for you. Okay? And through that, Paul realized, hey, the only way I'm going to get God's strength is to admit that I'm weak. The only way I'm going to get God's strength is to present an empty fuel tank to Him so that He can fill it all the time. And it's actually a very simple principle. I think some preachers use that. If our cup is full, God cannot fill it. If it's full of ourselves, full of our plans, full of our ambitions, God cannot fill it. But once you pour it away, put it in front of Him, God can fill that. Okay? So, we will have God's strength. What kind of strength? There are four. Number one, physical strength. Interestingly, physical strength. Alright? We don't have to turn there. Yes, God can renew your physical strength. Sometimes when we feel tired, say, God, I just need some concentration and to move on. God can give you that physical strength when you actually wait on Him or when you ask Him to. Mental strength in Romans chapter 12 verse 2. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye what? Transformed by the renewing of your mind. God can give you mental strength. Last time we used to give in. One Christian brother just shared with me recently and how God helped him to control his anger And really, he was going to explode. But you know, because of our faith in the Word of God, as he prayed, God helped him to control mentally what he needed to do. Mentally, what he needed to do. All right, with the Word of God. Okay, God also gives us moral strength. Moral strength. In 2 Timothy 2 verse 1, we talked about on Sunday, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." Be strong. God gives us a moral strength to do the right thing. And sometimes it's hard to do the right thing, but God can give the strength to do the right thing. Okay? And then God can give us spiritual strength. Acts 1 verse 8, "Ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost is come upon you." We will have God's strength in place of our weakness. All right, we thank God on Wednesday. Someone trusted the Lord. Okay, as a result of the tracking effort on Wednesday, an Indian guy who came from India, stayed in Singapore for 15 years. I was studying for A levels, and I think Brother Desmond and our brother went. Just led the person to the Lord. Pray that he'll come. Okay, their A level exam, so he's a bit stressed about that. I pray that he'll be able to come when all the other stresses are over. But so we thank God for that, because after a hard day's work, after you just last thing you want to do is, should I go? Yes, you should, because you're serving the Lord. God gives us the strength to do that. Okay, number one. Number two, let's turn back to Isaiah 40:31. "You shall renew your strength." Number one. Number two, "You shall mount up with wings as eagles." You will mount up with wings as eagles. The result of waiting on the Lord is you will soar on wings like eagles. Okay, you will have the abundant life that God promised you. Christian, our goal is not to live a substandard life. Our goal is to have the normal, abundant life that God, Jesus Christ, promised. And the reasons why sometimes Christians don't experience that is because we don't wait on the Lord for that strength to have the abundant life. Okay, the eagle is the only bird which flies so high that it is lost to the sight. That's where you and I belong. Okay? And interestingly, the eagle is the only bird that can fly above the storm. It's the only bird that can fly above the storm. Okay? You'll check that. But it can fly above the storm. In other words, even though there's storms around, the eagle is the one that can soar above the trials of our life. And Christians, God have appointed us as Christians to live that way. Did you know that? Okay, quite honestly, maybe in your heart right now, you don't have... How many of you honestly feel that you're always under the circumstances? I'm okay under the circumstances. God doesn't want us to be under the circumstances. He wants us to be rising above the circumstances. Because otherwise, if Christians live in the circumstances, then what's the difference between a believer and a non-believer? God wants us to have the abundant life. The word abundant means overflowing. Okay? That when, even in the midst of the difficulties and duties we face, we can still smile, we can still serve God, we can still know that God is with us. And when you wait on the Lord, the strength you have will give you the abundant life. John 10:10, "I'm come that ye might have life, ye might have it more abundantly." Okay, point number three, what is another result of waiting on the Lord? Firstly, we will have God's strength with our weakness. We have abundance. Number three, we will do greater things. "Ye shall run and not be weary." Ye shall run and not be weary. How many of you can run and not be weary? I run for 5 minutes, I'm gone. No, with my knees, probably for 10 seconds. But you know what? You can run and won't be weary. You see some people, someone will say, "I run halfway, I want to chase the person." That's why I think in some countries of the world, they're putting... I don't know which country, but I've heard some countries of the world are putting a thing on the police of their force. You better lose weight, otherwise you lose your bonus or something. Because let's be practical, big policemen cannot catch quick thieves. Okay, so that's why they need to be fit. And you know what? Then you run. But you know what God says? When you wait on the Lord, you will do things that you never dreamed you could do. You know, when you think of the missionaries think of the missionaries and the things they did, only God can give the kind of strength. In a place where there's no resources, in a place that things just can't happen, only God can. The same God that helped missionaries on the field is the same God that can help you to do extraordinary things. I don't know about you. These 45 people, they're going to come for the children's outing. It is God who brought. But you know what? God can use us to do extraordinary things in these children's lives. Amen? God is not asking us to change the world, but God is just asking us to impact where we can. Just do the little that we can, where we are. I think God said, just give you a little place, you just impact that area for me. If God gives us 45, say, Ambassador Baptist Church, I'm trusting you with this 45, let's do a good job of it. And let's turn to the book of John chapter 14, verse 12. John 14, verse 12. John 14, verse 12. John 14 and verse 12. Let's read together. Okay, this is what Jesus said in John 14, verse 12. Ready? One, two, go. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go to the Father. Okay, go unto the Father. Why did Jesus say that? Why did Jesus say, greater works than these shall ye do, because I'm going back to the Father? To explain that verse, Jesus Christ is going back to the Heavenly Father, yes? When you go back to the Heavenly Father, He's promising something, right? What is He promising? The Holy Spirit that will come, the Comforter. That's why He's saying that the Comforter hath come, okay? So, when Jesus was on planet Earth, did the Comforter come? Well, of course, the Holy Spirit is there, but the Holy Spirit did not empower the disciples. Jesus says, go ye, I'm giving you the power to cast out demons and things like that, okay? But Jesus says, I'm going back, I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit to come to rest on each and every one of you. And I like that because when I was teaching in the Chinese about this, it dawned on me that when God actually gave the Holy Spirit to everyone, you know what? What Jesus did in that small space of time was multiplied hundreds of times in the apostles and followed by the disciples. Why? The Holy Spirit came on every single one who trusted Christ. Now, was every single one of us, including these children, if you have trusted Christ, you have the Holy Spirit in you, you can actually lead someone to Jesus Christ. Amen? Okay, you can actually talk to someone about Christ, and that person can come to Christ. All right, and greater works than this shall we do, because I go to the Father. Okay, Christians, we need to be seeing more of these greater works in our lives. Because I just read in Acts 17, verse 6, you can jot them down. And when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren. There was Paul and Silas going to a city to preach. The Jewish people who didn't like them, drew Jason and certain brethren unto the ruler of the city and said, these that have turned the world upside down, come thither also. Now this Paul and Silas, don't know where you go, everywhere they went, they turn, basically turn upside down in a good way, okay, you know. People getting saved, churches were being established, idolatry were being removed. And this guy hated and said, these people have turned the world upside down. By the way, who are these people? The apostles, many of them unlearned, except for Paul maybe. And some of them are pretty rich, the apostles, but you know, most of the disciples were unlearned men. Acts chapter 4, 13. Say, how know this man letters, seeing he has never learned? And they took note. It's in the Acts 4:13. It stands quite squarely in line with what we're talking about. Acts 4:13. These are the people who turn the world upside down. We're talking about the point we will do greater things. Acts 4:13. I like this verse. Let's read there. Okay, ready? One, two, go. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were learned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took note of them that they had been with Jesus. That's the key. That's the key. They had been with Jesus. That's why they were bold and they were more knowledgeable than many of the Pharisees. Why? Because they were with the one who wrote the Bible all the time. Okay? In Mark chapter 3, verse 14, same thing. Jesus called them that they might be with Him, that they may be sending out to preach. Christian, the secret to your Christian life is time with Christ. Time with Christ. Point number 4, after that, we'll talk a little bit, very quickly about how to do that, okay? We will live victoriously in the hardest place of all. Okay, what's the hardest place? We will walk and not faint. We will walk and not faint. Sometimes it's easier to run than to walk. You know, some children would like to just run and run and run. But you know, as you grow older, you don't really feel like running. Amen? How many still go jogging? Alright, we'd rather do something else. Play badminton or captain's ball. Okay, after you run for about 1 minute, you can kind of wait there for about 5 minutes before someone throws the ball to you. But you will live victoriously in the hardest place of all. You know what's that place? In the daily routine of life. You will walk. You will walk. You will walk. And not faint. How many of you sometimes, complain? Oh, I do this day in, day out. Sian, man. And that's why someone always want to change, always must change activity, you know, jump from one to another, to another, to another, and you know, after you get giddy a while, because every time must do something, because why? Sometimes, please understand this, sometimes the need to keep on doing something, it could be that we're not contented with what we have, and to do a good job of it. Okay? So of course, sometimes it's because we just need to do many things. But here, when we wait on the Lord, God will teach us to win and be strong and be renewed even in the daily processes of life. That is the hardest part. Because they always say variety is the spice of life, right? You need variety. You need new things. By the way, there's nothing new. Okay? Yesterday I attended a talk. It's about my workplace. I went and this speech therapist was saying, using the Hannon program. Hannon program is actually a program to teach children who are developmentally delayed to talk. The first thing she said is this: I'm not teaching you anything new. The Hannon program is just an old strategies package in a new way. Okay? The Bible says there's nothing new under the sun. Nothing new, it's just repackaged and repackaged and repackaged. You know what? How many of you remember breakdowns? Is there still breakdowns today? There is still, but not as widespread as the time that we 1980s are really widespread. Okay? The time in 1980s or so, they have punk hairstyle, really sharp one. There was one I saw in the Brunei, I think I shared before. It was so long, the hair, and then it's spiky. The first thought, I said, how is he going to get up the bus? Because the moment you go out, you poke into someone. What I'm saying is, fashions of this world will change. But you know why there's fashions of this world? Because man is generally not content with his estate. He wants new. He wants something new. He wants something new. He wants something new. He wants something new. God says that when you get that kind of state, I just got fed up with what I'm doing now. God says that if you wait on God, God will give you the strength to walk, not faint, even in your daily life. There was a new, very interesting this one. This is missionary by the name of Herbert Jackson. Okay, he was a new missionary. He was assigned a car that would not start without a push. He was assigned a car that would not start without pushing. Okay, so after thinking through the problem a while, he came up with a plan. He went to a school near his house. He got permission to take some children out of the class and help him to push his car off. Okay? So every time he go for visitation, he will either park his car on a hill because he need to have push start, right? Sorry, brother, that's because it's auto. You cannot push start. But he know that he actually have to push start. Either on a hill or when he visits someone, he always leave his car running, so that the engine won't die off, okay? So I push. So as he made his round, he would either park on a hill or leave the engine running. He used this ingenious procedure for 2 years. Okay? What happened was, he got sick and ill health forced the Jackson family to leave their place. A new missionary came to the station, and so he was replaced. Okay, he was replaced. So Herbert Jackson proudly explained how to get this car started. Okay? So he either park on the hill, or you make sure you leave the engine on, or get some children to push the car. Okay? And then, this new man began looking under the hood. And before the explanation was over, the new missionary interrupted, "Oh, why, Dr. Jackson? I believe the only trouble is this loose cable."
Okay.
And he gave the cable a twist. He stepped into the car and pushed the switch. And to Jackson's astonishment, the car came to life. For 2 years, needless trouble became the routine. The power was there all the time. But the cable was loose. Is it possible for us as Christians that we have gotten used to our troubles? We are not looking for the power. You know, Pastor John was mentioning some people are more comfortable with what? FBI students? Some people are more comfortable with their old problems than with new solutions. They rather stay with their problems. "Ah, cannot change one, I cannot one, I cannot one, I cannot one." We have a loose cable that God needs to put in. So how do we wait on God? When you're going through a situation, a few things, waiting on God requires you to daily pray and read the Bible. And I'll add this, in your waiting time with God, you ensure your half an hour is not fruitless. You ensure that you're not sleepy. Okay? You ensure that you have full concentration during that time. You ensure, "God, I need to hear from you." And when you read at the end, jot down what God is saying. Any impressions that come to your mind related to the passage, related to your situation, just write down. "God wants me to learn to give up this. God wants me to learn. Or through Zacchaeus, I need to have genuine repentance." Yeah. Or maybe through a passage in Exodus, in the Red Sea. "God, you know, I've been looking all around to the mountains for help. No one there. Trouble coming behind. I'm stuck here. Yeah, God, I forgot to look up." God, maybe from today onwards, before lunch, before I eat, I'm going to spend just 5-10 minutes just praying for my situation. God, I just want to search for you. Daily time, reading and praying. At the end of the session, you must go away knowing that God has spoken to you. Don't waste your Bible reading time. Children, go into the habit of writing something you've learned every time you read the Bible. Even if it's just one short statement. "God want me to learn to pray. God want me to obey my parents. God want me not to shout at my mommy," or something like that. Yeah? Just write it down. Every day, just one sentence. 365 days, you have 365 lessons you've learned from God in the Bible. Parents, ensure this. Help your children. Do it yourself so that they can have that pattern. Say, "Papa is doing it. Mama is doing it." The children will then take on. Children are imitators. Okay? And then after daily, as you read the Bible, how do you wait on Him? Daily read the Bible, pray, coming sincerely to church, asking God, "Lord, speak for thy servant heareth." One of the things, every message I've learned in my own life, every message I hear, whether as pastor or even I'm just sitting down there with Russell or whoever comes to teach, there's always this thing I hope all of us will have. "Lord, I want to take one thing away today. Something that you want me to learn." Not looking at the preacher, but just hearing whatever they said. And letting God speak. And finally having a tender heart to hear God. Don't allow ourselves to be hardened by the things of this world. Don't allow our thoughts or our heart to be hardened by the sins and whatever situations. Of course, if we have sins in our life, better confess that because our hearts will get hardened. But you know, Christians, can I say this as we close? We need to be a waiting on God church. We need to be an assembly that doesn't rush. But when it's time to work, we work. When it's time to wait on the Lord, we wait on the Lord. When it's time to fast and pray together, we need to come. Because that's the time that God speaks to us as a church. And that's where everyone will put in their mind, their heart, and say, "God, what are you wanting me to do so that I can make progress in the church that you have put me in?" And by the way, when I said just now that God does, when we can do greater things, it's not we, it's God doing it through us, okay? It must be very clear. It's the Holy Spirit using us as we yield to Him to do those things, okay? Christians, wait on God. So, Brother Johnny, I'm very busy, a lot of things to do. all the more you need to learn to wait. Okay, just one final illustration, I'll close. I think it was D.L. Moody who said this: I got so many things that I need to do in my day that I need to spend the first 3 hours in prayer. It's interesting, when you spend time in prayer, guess what? You've got God handling all the things for you already. And all you need to do is go and mop things up. Alright? Let's have a word of prayer. Let's pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, for this time and the patient listening of thy word. Lord, thy word has taught us many passages says to wait on the Lord. Father, in Singapore, it's so hard because we have instant coffee. We've got different things, Lord, that wants to move us on all the time. We need to make decisions all the time. And sometimes we are uncomfortable not to make a decision because we are afraid that we might affect certain things. Oh Lord, give us wisdom to know the difference between doing an activity and also doing an activity empowered by you. Lord, I pray for you, to work in our hearts. Teach us, Lord, to wait on you. Teach us, Father, to realize that the things of life sometimes move by so fast and quickly. Yet, Lord, we need to constantly seek your face and for us to understand what's your will. Lord, thank you for what you're going to do. Eyes closed, heads bowed. I just want to ask this question. Is anyone here who would say, Brother Johnny, pray for me, that God will teach me how to wait on him? I know I've been rushing. I need to learn to just let God speak to me. Is there anyone like that? Amen, I see that hand. Amen, I see that hand too. Is there anyone else? You know what? When you put up that hand, it means God sees that as well. Okay, is there anyone else? Let's pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, for the people that put up their hands. It could be, Lord, that things of life is so fast and we need to do this and do that. But sometimes we just slow down. Because God, you just cannot speak to someone who's running. Because we're running in a particular direction, our direction. And God, we just need to slow down and just face you, Lord. I pray for these two brethren who have put up their hands. I pray you strengthen their resolve, Lord, to have times that they know, Lord, that no one can interrupt except you to speak to them through the word. And so that they can translate that into teaching their children, Lord, what it means to wait on God too. To have the meek and quiet spirit, the waiting on God spirit. Lord, I pray for the rest of us. I know every one of us desire the strength with you, that we can walk your way on a daily basis, that we can rise above like the eagle does. Father, help us to be a church, to be a people, to be your Christians, your child, who would learn to sit at Papa's feet just to listen to what Papa has to say. Because you treat us, Lord, as your child. So, Lord, thank you for this. And may we always remember this, Lord, that they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. And Lord, according to your word, that's a promise. When we wait on you, we will receive strength. Thank you, Father, for what you're going to do. Thank you for your tenderness and your grace. And I pray that every one of us will live here, Lord, with a resolve to wait on you. We thank you, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.